Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen loaded with top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. Perch has been busy developing new, innovative ways to continue to deliver product education and sales support to designers and consumers. Be sure to follow Perch on your favorite social media platform for announcements about the many new programs, demonstrations, and exclusive events to come. For a virtual showroom tour and to schedule an appointment with a sales representative, visit perch.com. Today, we welcome Carrie Brigham of Carrie Brigham Design, based in Naples, Florida. In this episode, we discuss how Carrie developed her design firm to be technology forward and how that benefited her business in 2020. We also discuss how some great advice from a design school professor and an aggressive learning curve contributed to the success of her business. Carrie shares so many valuable bits of advice, you're going to need a pad and pen for this one. Let's get started. Well, Carrie, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Thank you so much. I am so thrilled to be here with you today.
It's so great to have you representing Florida.
Southwest Florida.
Excellent.
You're from Naples.
We just had Lauren Chinesky on. Do you know Lauren?
I do. Lauren is a great friend of mine and inspired me to reach out to you.
Awesome. You guys have got a pretty great design community out there. Lauren's great. So, Carrie, let's get down to it. Let's start by talking a little bit about you. Tell us about yourself, and then we'll kind of start digging into the business of design.
Hey, my name is Carrie Brigham. I'm the owner and creative director of Carrie Brigham Design, located in Naples, Florida. I am 34 years old, graduated from Florida State in 2008. Didn't mean to rhyme. Just am obsessed with design, day in, day out, eat, sleep, breathe, interiors. I have two little doggies. Their names are Azuma and Fiji.
Oh, cool. What kind of dogs?
They're border terriers.
Oh my gosh.
They're so cute. Literally my life.
Are they office dogs?
Oh, no. Uh-oh. I would not get a single thing done if they were here. They're 1 and 3 years old, so they're a little hyper, a little excited, a very high-pitched bark that I don't wish upon anyone.
It's that age range, because, you know, once they get to be about 6 or 7, I've got a 7-year-old laying right here next to us. You wouldn't even know it. She's just the laziest, most beautiful thing ever. And unless the Amazon guy knocks on the door, you won't hear a peep out of her.
I'm waiting for the day. Hopefully one day they'll be able to hang out in the office, but not now.
So Carrie, tell us a little bit about your business model. How big is your team? What is your typical project?
So we are a luxury interior design firm. We have a team of 7, and our typical project is new construction or large scale renovations from the ground up.
Awesome. Okay. So big projects.
Yes.
And that's a good place
to say that. You have to know what your strengths are, and you have to, I know that I have to be challenged. So I honestly don't do well with small projects because they don't challenge me enough. So I know that I thrive with large scale projects, and also I am all or nothing. So the bigger, the better, and every detail that we can be involved in, starting really early on, the better.
I love that. You're a go big or go home kind of girl.
Definitely.
That's good though, because, you know, clearly it's your passion. It's what you love to do and you want to be involved in every aspect of a project. So, you know, really why miss out on any of it? If you love it all, embrace it, right?
Yes, definitely. And I think it also helps add value to our clients' property by way of having us involved early on. We have a big picture vision for all the way down to the last bits of furniture. So we know how to tweak the interior architecture and even the architecture sometimes to get a really good, really amazing end result.
Beautiful, beautiful. So let's backtrack just a little bit so that we can kind of understand your journey. What kind of transpired between, it sounds like around 2008 when you actually, you know, planted feet in the design industry to 2017 when you decided to take that leap and launch your own business? What transpired during that time to, you know, prompt you to do that?
So starting a little bit before 2008, I've always wanted to be an interior designer. My mom asked me when I was really young what I wanted to be when I grew up. And for a long time, I said, I don't know. And finally, I was tired of her asking me. So I decided that I would be an architect, so just so that she would stop asking me what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I sort of stuck with it. I tailored my high school education to drafting and AutoCAD. And then when it came time to apply for college, I figured out and declared interior design right away. So went through 4 years of design school at FSU, go Noles, and graduated in 2008. And then we all know that the economy collapsed in 2009. So I was within my first design job. And 11 months later, I was unemployed and 22 years old. So that was a huge learning curve, and it forced me to grow up really quickly. I was in a sort of sink or swim situation. I had to figure out how to make my design degree work because I certainly wasn't going to go back to school or go into any other field just because interior design is so natural to me. Literally have no idea what else I could possibly do if I wasn't designing. So I had to figure it out. I had to make it work. I had a ton of student loans and I needed to survive and succeed. It comes from deep within that I have to succeed and be able to take care of myself. So I had a design job, was unemployed, dug my feet in and found any type of job within the field that would keep my skills going. So I got a job in custom cabinetry, fabrication drawings for large-scale interior millwork and cabinetry. And I sold a nice package to a designer. She ended up hiring me as her design assistant, worked with her for a little while, sort of got burned out and wasn't sure that really this is what I wanted to do anymore because I was so surprised at how hard it was. And I think that was sort of just the nature of that particular firm. So I took a break, started selling some furniture. Another little caveat is our one of my favorite professors from Florida State, David Butler. He said that you can be, let me make sure I get this right. You can be a great designer and not know how to sell, or you can be a mediocre designer and be really successful if you know how to sell. So I got some experience at selling furniture and then realized ultimately my passion is high-end luxury interior design, but I needed to find a work environment that was healthier and would help me get to where I wanted to go. So I landed at another design firm, worked there for 5 years. It was an incredible experience, got my confidence up. And ultimately after 5 years, I decided that I was ready to follow my dream. And I felt like I had made enough mistakes over the previous 9 years to start my own company.
That's amazing. Wow. There's some great nuggets in that story, starting with your professor's advice to learn how to sell, because that seems to be a weakness or a pain point for many design professionals. I know a lot of design professionals are amazing at it, but I know a lot of design professionals also struggle with it, myself included. And so that was very good advice, you know, early into your career.
And one in particular, I highly recommend, even if it's just for 6 months to get a job at a furniture sales place, a furniture store, if you're right out of college, because being able to get the experience in front of customers, somebody that you don't know, and just selling a pink sofa and seeing the sale through, follow up, and just getting that really basic sales experience is, I feel like, a huge part of my success today.
Oh, completely. When I was in design school, I actually worked in a trade showroom, and it was such a good experience because that's literally where I learned how to order a sofa, how to order fabrics, you know, mm-hmm. how to memo accessories. I got to see all of these things happen on a day-to-day basis, watch mm-hmm. other designers do it, some of them more efficiently than others. So I learned a lot in that respect as well. Such mm-hmm. a good experience. I highly recommend it as well. So I'm glad that you said that. And I also recommend, and I always have, you know, working for another design firm to really learn the ropes and learn the business. And as you said, kind of make mistakes and learn some lessons under somebody else's watch before you take that leap yourself. It's really important. And I'm sure it proved to be very valuable to you.
Right. And I might have left out of my big long spiel between 2008 and 2017. While I was selling furniture, I was, of course, because my degree in design and my innate ability to put things together, the customers that I would sell this sort of lower end furniture to, they would see that I was obviously talented, and then they'd ask me to come to their home and help them with their remodel. So when I was 23, I was managing I kind of was forced to start a business early on to complement my furniture sales working at another company. So I started my own business when I was 23, just out of a sheer necessity, because these people just kept asking me to help them with their remodel projects. So I had to figure out how to get the sales tax certificate, how to pay taxes, how to apply for an LLC, and then the general setup of a business. I was much too young and inexperienced, but it sort of gave me this really great foundation of how to go about it. Even though it didn't work out long term, I knew that I wasn't ready, and I ultimately closed that so that I could go and learn from somebody that really knew what they were doing.
Right, right. So you mentioned that, so clearly based on your portfolio and what you've told us, you know, you cater to the luxury market, and it sounds like your experience leading up to launching your own business, you've always kind of been exposed to that luxury market. And I think that the luxury market is kind of misunderstood. And you and I had a great opportunity to speak prior to the interview, and you said something really interesting about pursuing the luxury market. And again, based on advice that was given to you in design school, share that with us, because I think it's great.
Yes. So in Naples, Florida, we are just really lucky to have the clientele that we do. And so there are many, many second, third, fourth, and even fifth homes in the area. So it's a really great market. And what I learned in design school from my same favorite professor, David Butler, anybody that went to FSU and graduated before maybe 2010 would know, he said, you work just as hard in low end as you do in high end. So only go in high end design.
Right. I agree, because it's the same amount of work and a much better margin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only is it the same amount of work, but it's a more beautiful end result in high-end design.
Oh, completely. Yeah. It's so much more fulfilling. I get it. And listen, not everybody has the ability to work in that luxury market. That market is not for everyone. There's a much bigger non-luxury market than there is a luxury market. I get it. But I really think that it should be kind of everyone's, not necessarily goal, but it's definitely something to work towards, because it's in a world all of its own, and it's very fulfilling in so many ways, both creatively, financially, and otherwise.
But because I'm always full disclosure, I have to say, with high-end design, there's a much higher liability. So in lower end design, when a dining chair costs, you know, under $200, if you place an order for a dining chair and it comes in the wrong fabric or the wrong finish or the wrong scale for some reason, it's a $1,000 bill versus a $1,000 plus bill versus a $200 bill. So with going after that luxury market, just keep in mind that there with risk, there is more rent liability.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I always tell designers, it's like, when you want to cross over into that market, there is a much higher level of expectation and a much higher level of exposure. And you need to be prepared for that on a whole bunch of levels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So Carrie, what were some of the challenges of launching your firm?
A challenge that I faced launching my own firm was figuring out what to charge. So when you are new to starting a business, even though I worked at another firm as a designer, I wasn't super involved in the nuances of how much every little thing costs. So it was really a learning curve to understand how much you should set aside for marketing, how much office space actually costs, how much all of the different computers and all the technology you have to buy. So a challenge was figuring out how much everything was going to actually cost. And so additionally, figuring out how much I needed to charge in order to stay in business and ultimately survive. So once I figured out how I needed to charge, or how much I needed to charge, it was a game changer. I, like many people listening, are constantly searching for information on podcasts, and I just searched and searched to figure out learning anything about profitability and how to get there. Figuring out how much you need to charge is based on an overall equation of profitability. You have to know exactly and really understand what your expenses are, your operation costs, and figure out how many jobs you want to work on a year, how much you could charge for those jobs. So big picture, understanding your expenses and knowing your worth and how much you want to charge to stay in business.
Yeah. And I'm glad that I love your perspective, because, it's not as simple as just asking five designers in your area, how much do you charge, and then emulating that pricing structure, because there's so many other things that go into the equation. Like you said, office space, computers, how many employees are you going to have? Do you have two people on your team or six people on your team? Mm-hmm. So it's very, very different for everyone. And I'm glad that you explained it that way, because there is a formula to determining what your pricing should be. It's a little complicated. It's not as simple as just asking a couple of other designers, although it always helps to get feedback from other designers to make sure you're in the ballpark, right?
Right. Absolutely. Well, the other thing is that you also have to constantly check in on what you're charging. So as my team has grown, my payroll expenses have grown. So every project I'm re-examining what our expenses are and then how much I want to make for myself personally going forward. So that helps determine what the next contract costs will be. You can't charge the same amount every project that comes your way without re-examining what your expenses are and where you're at financially.
That's another good point. What worked 3 years ago may not work now. It may not even work a year later. So it's always good to revisit that process and reevaluate it and kind of fine tune it based on your business size, the growth of your business, and the market that you're targeting.
Right.
Excellent advice. So Carrie, what were some of your strategies as far as, you know, developing your team to kind of get to the place that you're at right now?
So I definitely knew what my strengths and weaknesses were. And I knew that as an interior designer, business owner, I knew that I wanted to stay in design. I knew that I did not want to be doing accounting. I knew that I didn't really want to be so hands-on in project management. I had to be early on, but as I have become more and more fortunate to gain more projects, I grew my team by surrounding myself with people that knew more than I do. So early on, I had an assistant that helped with operations, and then I needed more help on the design side. So I added a design assistant. Then I knew I needed another designer to maximize our capabilities with our workload. And then I grew, and all of a sudden we had so much interaction with magazines and advertising that I knew that I needed to get a marketing coordinator on board. And I also knew that I wanted that marketing coordinator to be multidimensional and have experience with photography and social media. So I really took my time to find the right people to support me so that I could stay designing.
Such good advice. It's so important because, you know, we can't do it all ourselves. And even if you can, it's going to take away from the creative process. And I feel like that's, you know, that should be our number one goal, is how to preserve our availability for that creative process. And it's by surrounding yourself with people that are smarter than you.
Definitely. Highly recommend.
I've always said there's no shortcuts and there's no fast track to, you know, building a business, but there's definitely lots of strategies to approaching it efficiently. And I think that's one of them.
Absolutely.
So, being relatively new in business, clearly this whole COVID thing probably came out of left field for you. I mean, you obviously experienced 2008, 2009, but this is an entirely different ballgame. What are some of the things that you have implemented in your business that have benefited you during this time of COVID and the way that we have to work right now under these circumstances?
When I started my business, I selfishly set it up so that I could work anywhere. Even though I had an office space and an employee, I really wanted the flexibility for myself, selfishly, to have everything set up so that I could work remotely. And it turned out that my whole team was able to work remotely and I was able to work at the office during COVID. When I set up the company, I was on a mission to be as efficient as possible. It's kind of crazy how, as interior designers, we're constantly searching for new, fresh ideas and creating interiors that are so up to date or timeless, how dated the interior design industry is.
Yeah, for sure.
So when I set up my business, I wanted to have everything as technologically advanced as possible. I had Microsoft 365 so that we could use SharePoint and access all of our client files from any device, whether it's a laptop, iPad, or iPhone. We have access to what we need on our server from anywhere. And as well as utilizing a design management program that is accessible through the internet rather than only from the desktop, which the different options available have all become more remote in the last couple of years. But choosing to use Studio Designer was a huge benefit at the beginning of time to start from.
One of the other things that we talked about as far as developing your business in a very tech forward manner is your use of video. And so on your website, you have some great videos attached to your portfolio that I'm a little bit obsessed with. And now that I said that, everyone's going to go to your website and they should. Tell us about what prompted that.
Every year, the Collier Building Industry Association hosts the Sand Dollar Awards. So we have to submit our projects for review. And typically every summer, the judges will walk through the homes in person. And of course, this year was different than all the previous years, and they suggested providing videos to the projects in addition to photographs. And I kind of knew that video is the way of the future. I've been hearing it a ton from different podcasts and different media consultants that your video is just, it's going to be everything in 2020 and beyond. So I wanted to not only have the video for our Sand Dollar Award submittals, but also to be able to incorporate into our website. So COVID sort of forced us to get on the bandwagon very quickly. And fortunately, we were able to schedule and coordinate our photographs and videography all in succession so that it was a really efficient process. The home was already styled. We did all of the photography first, and then we had the videographer come through and shoot the home in addition to the still photos. I think it adds so much dimension to the website. It's so much more exciting. As a daily Instagram user, I'm obsessed with video and IGTV and Reels. So it was only natural that we would include the videos on our website and ultimately also add to our social media as well.
Yeah, it's great content for social media. And I just think it's so pleasant to watch. It's funny. You're right. You know, the industry has been saying across the board that, you know, video is next level. We can't live without it. And just like anything else, I was like, yeah, whatever. And, you know, sure enough, it has really, you know, jumped to the front of the line. And I prefer watching video. Like, I never thought I would say on Instagram that I would watch the stories over scrolling through grids, but I watched the stories first and I love video. And I think that was such a smart idea on your part. You can do so much more with that content above and beyond just posting it, you know, on the website. And it's just such a beautiful extension. And it also puts you on that YouTube platform, which is a surprisingly high volume search engine. Again, something I didn't know. It's not what I do, but I listen to the professionals and that's what they're saying. So interesting how the COVID timing really prompted you to jump on the bandwagon with something that's very, very progressive. It's going to impact your business substantially, I think.
I also wanted to add a sort of an insider tip to scouting and finding your videographer. With drones and with video, it's become so much more accessible. Do your homework and getting estimates from multiple videographers, because the cost to do it ranges all over the board. And if you're a smart new business owner, you have to be scrappy. And these young college kids are really great at video. So we specifically targeted a younger videographer because when you're doing 7 videos at one time, it can be a huge expense. And so you want to find a videographer that understands what you're looking for and can duplicate the same feel so that you have consistency in your content. But you don't have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on video. You want to make sure you're getting a good deal. And even when you're doing bulk videos, you want to get your videographer to do sort of a bulk package for you rather than just doing one at a time here and there.
That's really good advice. That's great advice. And there is so much talent out there. So, you know, doing that really gives somebody a really great opportunity to work and do what they do best, which we can totally respect and appreciate. So it's a win-win.
Definitely.
So Carrie, let's get to the signature question, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
Starting with the secret to your survival, what would you say is the secret to your survival in the business of design?
Well, first off, I would say that self-care is a huge secret to my survival. Mm-hmm. I have to get a mani-pedi at least once a month. I have to get my massages. I have to take care of myself and make sure that I'm feeling good first and foremost. But primarily, my secret to survival in business, in the design business, is really understanding where we stand with our clients. We are a service provider. This is not like a super glamorous job every single day, and I know that. And I know that it's hard work, and you just have to know where you stand in the overall scheme of your client's life and understand that you're offering a service and that your client's time is really valuable and you want to provide the most efficient service and successful experience for your client as possible.
And what would you say is the one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then?
The one thing I wish I knew now that I didn't know then was the power of saying no. As all interior designers are people pleasers. You have to have that personality trait to be able to withstand this career. And it's impossible for me to say no. You want to just do everything you can to help. You want your clients are coming to you for solutions, and they want your help with being their advocate with their builders. And you have to know when to say no, and you have to know when to limit your liability.
Oh my gosh, that is such good advice. And I mean, I know the design community is having that conversation among themselves over and over and over about establishing boundaries and knowing when to say no and limiting that exposure, just for the sake of pure sanity, but also for the sake of really being the very best that you can be when it comes to creativity and even on a business level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if you accidentally say yes, you can go back and say no.
Yes, you can. And how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community?
I definitely pay it forward by offering my advice to students as much as possible. We do a summer internship previously to COVID. We had the last 3 years summer interns from various colleges. And we have this great intern curriculum that we make sure that our interns get a great experience and really get their feet wet in the real world. And we put together this fun list of things that you won't learn in college that you'll learn in the work environment. So paying it forward with interns every summer. And this coming fall, I'm actually going back to my high school and going to be talking about residential interior design to the high school students where I graduated from.
Oh, how cool. That's very cool. I love that. So, Carrie, I want to circle back for 1 second, and I want to acknowledge and thank you for referencing self-care as part of your secret to survival, because you know what? That's something that we all kind of laugh about, but it's really, really very important. And so while it may seem a little superficial to be like, I need my mani-pedi and I need my massage, I don't think that any designer should feel that that's superficial. I think that we should embrace the reality that taking care of ourselves and getting ourselves right and being in the right mindset and just spiritually and physically being in the right place is the only way that we're going to be the very best leaders that we can be, the best inspiration that we can be, and the best business people that we can be.
This business can definitely take a toll on you. As I am growing, I'm 30, just turned 34 yesterday. I know that I don't have as much energy as I had when I was 26 and 27, just in a short amount of time. So I can't take care of my clients if I don't take care of myself first.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm so glad that you said that. And I hope that that message rings, you know, loud and clear with everyone that's listening out there. Do not neglect yourself, especially at a time like this, when we're up against such unusual circumstances in the world. I think people are realizing that, we need to take care of ourselves. There's nothing wrong with putting ourselves first, because unless we do that, we can't be of service to anyone else.
Absolutely.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. It was great to get to know you a little bit. Tell us how we can learn more about you by sharing your website and where we can find you on Instagram.
Well, we just recently renovated our website, so you can learn more about my services and my team at www.carriebrighamdesign.com. And we'd love for you to follow us on Instagram at Carrie Brigham Design.
Awesome. And check out those videos in the portfolio on the website.
Yes. Be sure to look for our work.
Excellent. Carrie, thanks again. I really appreciate it. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
You too.
I really appreciate Carrie's go big or go home attitude. She really dug into the industry and explored a variety of ways to learn the business of design, which clearly benefited her when she launched her own design firm. That and some good advice from some trusted allies. As design professionals, we don't talk enough about sales. It's often a pain point for many of us, but it's also the cornerstone of our business model. The sales aspect is not for the faint of heart, especially in the luxury market. But at any level of design, it's so important to work on your sales skills, your confidence level, and your ability to balance sales and design. Carrie's process of developing a pricing structure for her business is one that is very relevant to the design industry. It takes a ton of research and a lot of number crunching. Most importantly, you need to know your business and your value. It's also important to remember that your pricing structure is subject to change as your business grows and expands. What works today may not hold water this time next year. I think we can all relate to that. Thank you, Carrie, for all the great advice and insight. This is definitely a note-taking episode. I hope this podcast episode has inspired you to create new solutions for your business. If you love Design Biz Survival Guide, share with a friend, tag us on social media, and if you're listening on iTunes, rate the podcast and tell us your biggest takeaway from your favorite episode. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.